Good morning. I'm Jim Packard, sitting in for Larry Mueller, who's enjoying life in Paris this week. And so I will be in substituting for him, and it's a pleasure to have you with us today. And we're going to be talking about care for the non-dog, non-cat variety of pets, such as birds, fish, hamsters, lizards, and other exotic species, with Mike Hoffer, who is the owner and creator of Hoffer's Tropic Life Pets in Milwaukee. It's Wisconsin's most unique animal center. It's located on 76th Street in Milwaukee. And it is a pleasure to welcome Mike Hoffer to our program. Hi, Mike.
Well, good morning, Jim. My pleasure to be here again.
Thanks very much for taking some time in this busy holiday season to be with us. What do you do with your outdoor koi water garden for winter, if anything?
Well, we let it snow on top of it. We keep a few pumps running in there to break the water surface. And we bring all the plants in, all the koi come in, and we leave the goldfish out there because they can winter over real nice out there.
They don't have a problem with winter then?
No.
Well, that's great. Take us on a little tour of your store as you walk through the front door there.
Well, as you walk through, you're greeted by a real nice rainforest-type mountainous structure and with a koi pond indoors on the other side of it with a couple waterfalls. And go past the counters and all that. We have a kitten room, a couple kitten rooms, a ferret room, a couple bird rooms. Then our big feature are the small animal areas, reptile areas, and then our huge, humongous fish room. We also have an alligator pit, turtle pit. Right now we have live tigers here from a rescue center down in Oklahoma. And we're doing tours every day here, and it's just a lot of fun.
So if someone wants to take a tour, do they just show up or do they make an appointment?
Well, for the school tours, they have to make an appointment. We also do birthday parties on the weekends. Mm-hmm. But like for the tigers, we're doing pictures with the tigers, live baby tiger cubs. And that's the separate entity. That's the rescue group from Oklahoma that runs that, but I give them the space here.
And how long will they be there?
They're going to be here till Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm. Mike Hoffer is our guest, the owner and creator of Hoffer's Tropic Life Pets in Milwaukee, Wisconsin's most unique animal center. And if you have questions about the non-dog, non-cat variety of pets, why, give us a call. In Madison, the number is 263-1890. Otherwise, it's toll-free at 800-642-1234. And, of course, you can email us at talk@wpr.org. And, again, if people want to catch up with the store as the program goes on, is it hoffers-tropic-life.com?
Hoffers-tropic-life.com.
Okay, very good.
That just previews some items in the store, some pictures and that.
Mm-hmm.
We always hope that people come in here.
They'll get the full treatment.
They get the full treatment.
Let's start off with a question that's it's been not bothering me, but what are sugar gliders and how did they get their name?
They're nectar eaters. They're very similar to our flying squirrels, although they're marsupials, which means they have a pouch.
Uh-huh.
And they nurse their babies in that pouch for almost 3 months after they're born. And then the babies start crawling out. They may have one or two babies at a time. They are the softest animal I've ever touched.
Really? So they've got almost, a suede-like fur quality?
Really, really soft.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And short. Yeah, kind of like suede almost.
And what size are we talking about?
The size of a gerbil or a mouse.
Mm-hmm.
But with the big flaps of skin between their legs, they can fly or glide, rather, from tree to tree. And they love fresh fruits. We give them baby, the strained baby cereal, or not cereal, but the jars of apricot and peach and things like that.
So they would be totally an indoor pet.
Oh, definitely.
Outside, why, the land...
No, they would disappear. But they form a really unique bond with the owner.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Do you generally, would you get them in pairs so that they would, you know, play with each other or amuse each other? Or
makes no difference.
Makes no difference.
But almost everybody has two or more. We provide them with real large cages so that they can really move around. They're nocturnal. And they love to go in these small wicker nests during the day. We have these little nest balls with a little hole on it.
Right.
And they hide in and give them lots of plastic vines in there, you know, kind of recreate a jungle effect for them, makes them very comfortable. We've been breeding those for, 15 years now.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your history and how you got started in this tropic life pet business.
I started the business 35 years ago and as a fish-only store. And I kind of branched out and started doing animals as well, which I've always been interested in, but my primary interest is fish, tropical fish, reptiles, and got into it and just kept moving to larger storefronts. And 6 years ago, we decided to build a brand new store from scratch, and it's the second largest independently owned store in the United States.
Hmm. Where is the largest store?
It's more of a warehouse-type store, a catalog-type store, and that's in Pennsylvania.
But as far as
a... Four times the size of this one.
But as far as a store of your type, why...
I want to say we're the top.
So where do you have a like a national convention of your kind of pet store?
Oh, yeah. There's one in Las Vegas, which is a nice one. Biggest one is in Chicago, and they're dotted around Atlantic City, Florida, Arizona, San Diego. Every year they have some in different areas, and that's where all pet shop owners would culminate and look over new products from the manufacturers or showing them there.
Mm-hmm.
Livestock dealers, as well as dry good manufacturers displaying all their products, and we place orders.
Well, if you'd like to join the conversation, the number is 263-1890 in Madison. Otherwise, it's toll-free at 800-642-1234, or you can, of course, email us at talk@wpr.org. Cheryl Gasser is our on-air producer today, and we'll take your call. And we're talking with Mike Hoffer, who is the owner and creator of Hoffer's Tropic Life Pets in Milwaukee, Wisconsin's most unique animal center. You are located on 76th Street, correct?
Correct. 76th and Good Hope.
And Good Hope.
That's the major cross streets there.
Mm-hmm. You've got your reptile department with, you know, well over 100 individual habitats, do you not?
Yes.
Talk about
160, to be exact.
Mm-hmm.
Plus all the... we have an area for just baby snakes, spiders, things like that, probably an additional 100 little individual cages. We carry everything from giant tortoises to giant pythons to spiders, of course, small sand boas, everything you can think of.
Did you say that you had an alligator pit?
And we have an alligator pit. We are prohibited by a city law to sell crocodilians, but we can display them. So we have a sunken pit in the middle of the store that we have four or five alligators that maybe I try to get rid of them when they get about 3 feet long. And trade them maybe for a smaller one.
For a smaller one.
Yeah. And that has a artificial tree growing out of it, rocks, water, and a place for the turtles. We have turtles in there also to all sit up on the roots of this tree. And when we have our kids come in for the tours, we all give them a goldfish to feed to the turtles or the alligators.
That's got to be quite the thing
they
for a child. Yeah. Mike Hoffer is our guest, and let's take some calls, Mike. If you have a question or a comment about the non-dog, non-cat variety of pet, the number in Madison, 263-1890, or it's toll-free at 800-642-1234 if you're away from Madison. Let's go to Dave first in Waukesha. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
What can we do for you?
I was wondering a little. I wanted to know a little more information about the animal they were talking about, or you were talking about a little bit earlier.
The sugar glider?
Yeah, the sugar glider.
Sure.
What is the range of prices for those?
Well, generally around $249.
Okay.
What's the life span of a sugar glider?
8 to 10 years.
10 years, okay. And you said they eat fruits, vegetables, sweet items, right?
Right.
That's how they got their name. And where are they from? What part of the world?
Australia.
Australia. Okay, that fits with the pouch, I guess.
Right, being a marsupial.
Okay.
But they're very similar to our flying squirrels.
And do they have a bushy tail or?
Not really.
Is it a short tail or?
It's a medium-length tail.
Medium-length tail?
Yeah.
And is it fur-covered as well? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
And you mentioned that fur is the softest in the world.
Yeah.
Okay, and then what is the location of your store? I didn't get that.
It would be 76th and Good Hope, those major cross streets.
North side, okay.
Yes.
And, of course, you can find out more about them at hoffertropiclife.com. Give you a little introduction there. And, Dave, good luck to you in your search for a new pet.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right,
thank you.
Dave,
you're welcome.
We appreciate your call as well. Mike Hoffer is our guest of Hoffer's Tropic Life Pets in Milwaukee. The number is 263-1890. And our next caller is Mary in Madison. Hello, Mary.
Hello. What a good show. I just walked in the door, but I heard the speaker say that he has quite an interest in tropical fish, so I assume the question's acceptable. Before I ask, I wonder if he happens to remember the old Reese Seed Store. No, it was Vaughn's in Chicago. Vaughn's Seed Store, and I think it was down on State Street, was known for their tropical fish. And when we were very young kids, my parents took us in this. We were just captivated, and it was the beginning of a lifelong occupation of tropical fish. I think that's the most wonderful world. It's such a pleasure, and there's so many new varieties now.
Well,
I don't suppose he remembers this store. It was legendary at the time.
Being from Milwaukee, no.
Ah, well, there it is. Things come and things go. But here is my main question. I notice now that the big boxes, fortunately or not, are dealing in tropicals that so often the majority of the fish in the tanks seem quite ill. And I've asked the kids working there why they don't remove those sick fish, if only because it looks awful. A lot of these things seem to be individual problems. I'm not sure they're that contagious at that point. But they said the store's policy is always to keep the fish in the tank, because otherwise employee theft becomes a problem and they're not even allowed to flush these fish down the plumbing. So my two questions stemming from this statement were this. When you've got a whole tank of fish, most of which are beginning to shimmy back and forth, in your experience, is it ever worthwhile to pull what appears to be an unaffected individual out of that tank and hope for the best, or should you just bypass them? And secondly, have any improvements been made over the last 10 years in the handling of tropical fish as they arrive from the supplier so that you don't see so many stressed and ill fish in these tanks?
Well, we've made a lot of efforts in controlling that whole situation. We have a back room with probably 75 fish tanks that which is probably larger than most smaller shops. And when we get a shipment of fish in, they all go into those tanks first, off public display. These are virtually empty tanks with some decoration in there for their benefit. All the water we have here is drip feed. We don't rerun any water through filters that, if you're medicating, it becomes a chemical soup for these fish. We pay very close attention to the habitat, the water quality of the fish tank, so that doesn't occur here. Most stores don't have that luxury. They get their fish shipment in and put the fish into the main viewing tanks for the public. And if any problems occur, it's very hard to treat a fish tank on the sales floor. Now, when we are satisfied with those fish, we usually maintain them in the back room for about a week. Then we start bringing them out on the sales floor and put them in their more semi-permanent tanks before they go up for sale.
Well, I've been mystified by this policy because it's just nasty to see these poor things struggling on the surface, floating dead, while the employees are standing around. But my understanding is that they have absolutely no control over this situation.
No, definitely none. I knew a couple managers for some larger stores, chain stores out in California, and they are just strictly prohibited from doing any type of treatment, testing of the water, and so forth. So those fish are doomed.
It's so very sad. Unusually beautiful fish seem to be the tanks that are hit the hardest.
Yeah.
As far as pulling out a few individuals that still seem to be swimming normally, again, I think so many of these things are stress involved rather than an infection.
It's mostly an environmental.
Ever worth it?
Oh, sure it is.
You healthy?
I've never lost hope on a fish.
Well, but if it was my fish, it would be one thing. Paying quite a bit of money for a fish that's in a tank of really distressed individuals seems like a dicey business to me. But your feeling is it may be worth it to pull the animal out and take him home and try to work with him.
Yeah.
What do you see right now as the new fish coming in? Not saltwaters, but what are some of the more interesting new freshwater tropicals you've
seen? Well, one that I'm totally against are the genetically enhanced or the dyed fish, where they take a dye and inject them in the some of the lighter colored, like almost the albino type, whether it's a sword or a platy or a barb, and they inject the dyes in them. I'm totally against that. I believe in the natural beauty of the fish, and I do not and refuse to sell anything that's enhanced like that.
But that's the
new and upcoming thing.
Oh, dear. I'm sorry to hear that, too. When we were kids, we had wonderful years with fancy guppies. They're relatively tough. They're inexpensive. They breed quickly. What might be available in your store right now? Is there anything beyond your basic fancy guppy?
Well, we commonly carry about five or six different color strains. On the you'd be amazed at what I get emailed to me from some of the suppliers. There's literally hundreds of different types of varieties of guppies.
It's amazing. Mary, thank you very much for your call. Our guest is Mike Hoffer, who is the owner and creator of Hoffer's Tropic Life Pets in Milwaukee, Wisconsin's most unique animal center. We'll take a question from Paul in Menominee coming up in a moment here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Jim Packard in for Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Glad to have you along with us today as we talk about pets, the non-dog, non-cat variety, birds, fish, hamsters, lizards, and other exotic species. And if you have questions or comments, why not join us? In Madison, the number is 263-1890 or 800-642-1234, the toll-free number, and our email address, talk@wpr.org. Paul in Menominee is next, Mike. So, Paul, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Paul.
About 3 years ago, I picked up a little tiny snapping turtle in the middle of a busy parking lot.
Home.
And he's now grown to about a foot long. And he's just a delightful pet. He's very curious and active. And I just wondered if you had any pointers for as he grows larger, things that might be appropriate to feed him or to house him in.
Well, I myself used to, whenever I'd find a baby turtle and keep them like that, I normally let them go the following summer when I was a kid. I was just worried that if they got too large, it'd be harder to handle. But then I found out that if they're being raised by a person rather than out in the wild, their disposition is totally different. from when you would find a large 2-foot snapper in a pond versus one that you've raised. They seem to be a lot nicer, and I don't know why. Maybe they recognize us as their keepers and their source of food for them. But just about anything goes. I like feeding these reptile floating food sticks because they're a very balanced diet for any turtle. And that's kind of what I stick with. Occasionally you can throw, you know, a couple of goldfish in there, or if you're a fisherman and you're catching some fish and you want to feed them something like that, that's fine.
Oh, okay.
You know, just raw fish. It tends to make a mess. So my main concern with keeping, you know, as that animal grows, keeping the proper filtration on there and maintaining a good water quality in that aquarium that you're keeping them in. Do you offer him a place to get out and bask?
Yeah. Okay. He sometimes basks, but he seems to stay underwater most of the time.
He likes
minnows too.
Okay. That's good.
A minnow, and he's very good at catching live minnows.
Yeah, aren't they?
And
a unique creature, yeah.
Paul, thanks for the call. We appreciate hearing from you. Had an earlier caller, Mike, that wanted to know if you ever found the other tortoise when two of them were stolen out of the store.
Oh, I'm sorry to say no. That was our largest one, Virgil, that was taken from us in July 1st. And never heard any news back from them. However, the good news was that people were calling me from all over the state, finding these turtles out in the wild, crossing roads and on the corner by their house. And we actually took in three more as a result of that. I had one of our local police people came in with one day. I was called by a guy up in Sheboygan who runs the waste treatment plant, and another guy and his daughter found one in Cedarburg, and quite interesting. And the best one was somebody found a tortoise, like the type that was stolen, on the south side of Milwaukee. And we went down to animal control and picked it up, and I said, you know, it kind of looks like the one I lost, the smaller one, but I'm not sure. And they said, just take it, you know. So we did. 2 days later, a gentleman comes in who lives a block away from where they found it and said, yeah, I'm missing mine too. And I said, well, where do you live?
And close enough to crawl.
I sent them back, and I said, I think I have your turtle, your tortoise.
So they were reunited.
They were reunited. Big smile on his face.
I'll bet. We're talking with Mike Hoffer of Hoffer's Tropic Life Pets in Milwaukee, and we have lines open if you have a question or a comment about Tropic Pets in Madison. The number is 263-1890, and otherwise it's toll-free at 800-642-1234. Got an email from Danielle, who purchased a tropical turtle in Wisconsin Dells. It started out the size of a half dollar and is now the size of a softball. How much bigger can I expect it to get? It's 4 years old, is in a 20-gallon aquarium, which is three-quarters filled with water and has a large rock, so he can get out of the water as he chooses.
It's most likely a slider, if it's green, or a reddier slider. Those turtles can get 10 to 12 inches long, and you measure them on the curvature of the carapace, which is the back shell. And in the wild, that's what they can get up to be.
Okay.
Normally in a fish tank that small, they might stay around 6-7 inches.
He seems not to like companions and wondered if this was normal. He nipped the feet of the companion turtle bought at the same time until it died.
Yes.
And others that we tried shortly after. So
that is normal.
That's normal.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go back to the phones and go to Randy next in Green Bay. Hello, Randy. What can we do for you?
Hi. I was wondering what the best diet would be for a Russian tortoise.
Oh, for a Russian?
Yes.
Anything that a Russian tortoise is virtually the same habitat and food as our local box turtles. Lots of fruits, vegetables, greens, things like that. I've fed mine food sticks, the reptile food sticks, as well. I've raised a number from eggs, and the Russians are great because they don't get huge. But any fresh fruit, vegetable, and lots of different types of greens. I give mine broccoli, peaches, pears, even little pieces of pumpkin, bananas, lots of dandelion greens in the summer, as long as that lawn hasn't been sprayed. The ethnic greens, like collard greens, turnip greens, things like that, kale, they love that, too.
Now, I read that fruit isn't that good for them because it'd be hard on their system.
No, not at all. Now, you can also give them mealworms, crickets. It's fun to throw a cricket or two in there every once in a while. He'll chase them around to eat them. But it's not it should not be their main fare.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, Randy. Thank you very much for the call. Again, the number in Madison is 263-1890, and our toll-free number is 800-642-1234. Emily is next in Oshkosh. Hello, Emily. What's on your mind today?
Hi. I have a fancy rat named Francis. Apparently, rats are exotic. I took her to the vet because she was itching a lot on the back of her neck and her shoulders, and she's got, like, some scabs and stuff on there now. And they figured it was probably something like mites or something. So they gave her an injection of ivermectin and then sent me home with one, which I gave her like a week later, I think it was supposed to be. But the scabs and the itching didn't clear up.
Okay.
And I called the vet back, and the person that I talked to said that the ivermectin probably would have handled if it was mites.
Yeah.
And she was probably just going to be scabby and itchy now forever.
Well,
and
some
I was
rats are prone to that.
Yeah.
What type of bedding do you keep them on?
She has this, it's like paper.
Okay.
It's not shavings or anything.
All right, so it's a non-allergenic.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That would be what we usually would see where people keep them on something like a pine or cedar where there's resins in that wood that sometimes they have an adverse reaction to, and they'll itch like that.
I never use shavings with her because I know it's dusty, and I know rats are prone to respiratory problems.
Yes, they are.
So I'm pretty sure it's not her bedding, and I'm just wondering if there's anything I can do or if she's just going to be itchy and scabby, and that's just going to be the way that she is.
She just may be that way. You're feeding them a good, balanced diet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she gets lots of fruit and nuts, and occasionally she gets some, like, cooked meat.
Okay. Yeah, I've got a feeling that she may just have that. Rats are prone to skin disorders, their tumors, but they live with it.
Okay, yeah. I just, was wondering if you knew anything else, but okay.
Yeah.
All right, Emily, good luck to you and to your pet rat, and sounds like she's doing the right thing.
Yeah, we do a lot with the pet rats here, and quite a few of my people have pet rats, and they're really into it. The only unfortunate thing about rats is that they don't really live a long time, 2.5 to 3.5 years. And it's hard on somebody, when you have a pet, that going into it knowing that, you're not going to have them forever. It's just something that people have to deal with when they have a rat, but they do make great pets.
Switching to another exotic, we had this email from Kristen, who says, I have three female degus, is it? D-E-G-U-S? Degus. What is
degus?
A degu?
It's a kind of like a gerbil.
Okay.
It's a desert, almost like a desert rat, if you would.
And they love to groom each other. The problem is that one of them has a fairly large bald spot on her back due to over-grooming from the other two. Any suggestion how I can stop this behavior, and how long should it take for her to grow her fur back? She and I would love any suggestions you may have.
Well, the only option they have there is to maybe give them some more oils in their diet and keep them separated so that that can grow back.
Mm-hmm.
and then reintroduce them. And it may happen all over again.
All right. Marcy in Milwaukee, let's go to you next. Hi, Marcy.
Hi. Thanks for taking this call.
Hi.
I have a green Amazon parrot named Herbie, who was given to me by a person who worked at the Humane Society Ark. He was one of nine birds who was found in a home where he was terribly abused and starved and everything. He's a great-looking bird. He's very healthy. He eats very well, but sometimes when I want to give him a treat at the end of the day, he decides to bite me. I'm not talking about nipping. I'm talking about biting where he draws blood.
Yeah.
I need to know if this is normal behavior for an Amazon or if this is kind of a holdover from his days when he was not being treated well.
Well, I don't think it would be a result of him any mistreatment. A lot of birds are that way. I think they're just trying to show you that they want to be the boss.
Oh, okay.
And they want to domineer, dominate, you know, their caregiver. Yeah, unfortunately, there's nothing really you could do. They usually will show in advance their intentions.
Oh, I think he does, and I try and get my fingers away from him as quickly as possible, but sometimes it's not possible.
Yeah, there are some, and I'm not a bird behaviorist, because my area of interest are reptiles and fish, but I could, you could seek out somebody that's really into the birds and training of the birds that could help you with that.
Okay.
I don't know if you've investigated that.
No, I haven't, because simply because I've been told by a young lady who is into birds, and she has a bird feed business, and she raises birds.
Okay.
And houses birds for, you know, periods of time when you go on vacation.
Sure.
And stuff. She's told me that Amazons can be aggressive.
Yeah, and I would take her advice because she is deeply into it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, thank you so much.
All right. Thank you very much, Marcy. We appreciate your call. Again, the number for you in Madison is 263-1890 or toll-free at 800-642-1234 to talk with Mike Hoffer of Hoffer's Tropic Life Pets in Milwaukee. Going to Eau Claire next with Sue. Hi, Sue.
Hi. When my daughter was in fifth grade, and that was 10 years ago, she received a tadpole as a dried tadpole as a gift, and I...
Sure.
I think it's called an African arrow frog.
It would most likely
it's
be
white.
A Xenopus, which is an African underwater frog.
Yeah, it lives in the water, and
yes.
It's and I was wondering, do you know what the lifespan on these things are?
A long time.
Oh.
they had the grow a frog kit.
Yep.
And you get the egg and hatch it out, and it turn into a tadpole, and you know, and then it would morph into the frog. And I've had numerous people like you ask me, so how long do these live? How long do I have to keep taking care of this? They're used in research, I would say, you know, 10 to 15 years is a good time for those.
Okay.
For their lifespan.
In the right size aquarium, how big can they get?
Well, there's two types. There's the dwarf, which gets maybe 2 inches long, and then there's the regular Xenopus, which gets about 3.5 to 4 inches.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, Sue. Thank you very much for your call. We appreciate hearing from you. Let's go to Bill next. Bill, you're in Chicago?
That's correct.
Correct. And what did you wish to talk about today?
A bird.
Go ahead.
Oh, all right.
It's a red-footed booby. Are you familiar?
No, I'm not.
It's a coastal bird. It's a large bird. Kevin Diaz is king. Kevin Diaz is king.
Well, whatever that means. Thanks, Bill. We appreciate hearing from you. A caller suggested using olive oil on the foods for that pet rat to help cure the allergy and the itchiness.
Yeah.
Another suggested that the nuts being fed to the rat may be upsetting an allergy and suggested removing peanuts especially. Do birds have, or do rats have the same problems with peanuts that humans?
That humans can, yeah. Sure. And dogs and cats. Lately, a lot of animals have developed allergies to chicken, corn, wheat, beef, all kinds of things. So they've come up with new foods. They're actually using venison now, or buffalo, rabbit, lamb, as alternatives for the meat source, because a lot of dogs and cats have developed allergies.
Hmm.
And it's been an increasing problem over the last 10 years.
Another caller wanted to know how they would get to the store from Madison.
94 to 45 to Good Hope.
To Good Hope. Well, that's pretty simple.
Yeah.
Should be easy enough to take care of. Let's go next to John in Mequon. And John, what's on your mind today?
Yes, I'm curious, how can it be determined that these animals have not been illegally taken from the wild? I know this is a problem with parrots, and especially with reptiles nowadays.
Well, this would be at the point of where arrival, most of which would be Miami or L.A., and that's where Customs and Fish and Wildlife come into play. They do the inspections. They randomly take shipments and open them all up. I used to import saltwater fish from the Philippines, and it was like every other shipment. They would go through the manifest, your invoice, and make sure that those are the fish in those boxes. And they do the same thing for reptiles. I don't think birds are even allowed in anymore, but any reptile and small animal, and they're governing that. Once they're in the country, I've heard of people just shipping them, calling them plastic toys.
So everything that comes to your store would be certified. But
right.
I keep reading that there is an incredibly large illegal market.
Oh, yes.
That somehow bypasses customs and then does.
Those are called smugglers.
Yes, and I do. And some of this, somehow there's a certification, a bogus certification process, and I hear that some of these critters do get to pet stores, and that the pet store owners might not even be aware that they're illegal.
Well, I deal with very reputable suppliers. I deal with people that captively raise all these animals. So I've eliminated that problem because I feel that the captive bred animals are far superior to anything caught in the wild. And if more people would take action like that and cut that demand, whether it be for the price reason or whatever, or availability, that would just cease to exist then, the smuggling trade. And I've heard it said that the smuggling trade for animals, birds, et cetera, is more lucrative than the drug trade.
Wow. John, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate hearing from you and for raising that point. Our guest is Mike Hoffer, who is the owner and creator of Hoffer's Tropic Life Pets in Milwaukee, and we'll take more of your calls in just a moment here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning, Jim Packard, sitting in for Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Glad to have you with us today. Keisha Mabra is our on-air phone producer, and you can reach her at 263-1890, or you can call toll-free at 1-800-642-1234. And, of course, our email address is talk@wpr.org as we talk with Mike Hoffer of Hoffer's Tropic Life Pets in Milwaukee. And, again, Mike, thanks for spending time with us today.
You're welcome, Jim.
Let's go to Nina and to Harley next. Harley, what's on your mind?
I'm Mike Hoffer. I've been a shopper at your store for several years now, and I love coming to Milwaukee to check out your animals.
Well, thank you.
Collection.
Thank you.
Wonderful place. And I haven't seen zebra mice there in several years. Interesting little critter. Always wonder what they're like to keep.
They were a little more difficult to keep. As that lady was mentioning about the dagos before, the zebra mice like to fight even more. And when you're keeping them in a more confined area, I never really could figure out how people could breed them, because I was getting all those from private breeders, too. We just did not do well with them. They just like to fight a lot. So we finally kind of got out of the zebra mice. That was about 2-3 years ago. That was the last time I've seen them. But I thought they were so neat.
They're very neat. I've had the spiny mice before as well. I had one pair that ended up killing each other once. That was bizarre.
And I think that's why you don't see a lot of certain things ever. You see a lot of mice, rats, gerbils, hamsters. But even some of those guys, every once in a while, they start fighting. And it's just one of those things in nature. You know, if you're overcrowding them or if you're not giving them enough space, they do that.
Keeping them in 20-gallon aquariums, the 20-gallon long.
Well, when you're talking about in the wild, where they might occupy an area of 500 square feet, you know, it, same goes for fish in the aquarium. A lot of fish in nature, same thing. So you can't put two together in the same tank.
Harley, thanks very much for the call. We appreciate hearing from you.
Yes.
Bruce in Racine, let's give you a chance. Hi.
Yeah, hi. I run a small bird rescue in the Racine area, and I get a lot of Amazons in. People get them when they're young and cuddly, and when they get to be 3 to 5 years old, especially with some of the more hotter types, like the blue front, the double yellow head, and the yellow napes, the males will get real hormonal and nippy almost no matter what. But they pick one person in the family to bond with, and then if anybody comes close to that person, they'll either attack the new person coming in, which would, could be the husband or wife, or they'll take and they'll nip the person that they love and they're with in what's called misplaced aggression in order to, you know, get away from them, you know. And so people, they just have to understand it. You have to read up and really try hard to understand what makes your bird tick. But, you know, if it's just a one-on-one relationship, this aggression, it's kind of a seasonal thing. It'll pass. If they have any more questions about it, they could call me if you want me to give them a number.
That would be good, I think.
Why don't we take it off the air?
Okay.
The other lady was asking, are there ways of altering those aggressions?
Yes. There's a lot of different ways, but there's only a couple that I recommend. One of them is the light cycle. If you can keep the lighting that the bird is under, say, the 10 hours a day, they won't get into that light-influenced light cycle to where they're hormonal, and it's kind of like a breeding season, because the birds will all breed wherever they're at during the longest light cycle of the year, which would be spring and summer. And so if you could keep it down to 10 hours a day, usually a lot of that nastiness and aggression can be gotten, you know, away with. You just have to try different things. But it's either the bird is focused on one person, and that's the one that he wants to keep as a mate, and then they'll chase everybody else away if they can, you know. I've got an Amazon, sweet as can be, a blue front named Arthur, and he loves me. He calls me brother and everything else. And when my wife comes anywhere near, he'll try to fly across the room and bite her. He'll try to get her eyes. And so I had to clip his wings, of course.
Yeah.
And you just have to understand that with these birds. You know, you got a 3 to 5 year old personality for the next 30 years, and
correct.
They're not like a dog or a cat. They can talk to you in human language and talk to you and use the appropriate words at the appropriate time, and they'll just astound you that way. They'll even train one another the right appropriate words at the right time, which you'll never see with a dog or a cat.
Bruce, I'll tell you what, we'll get your number off the air. We'll pass it on to Mike Hoffer, and people who have questions about birds in southeast Wisconsin can get in touch with you.
No, thank you very much.
That'll be fine. Let me get you on hold to be able to do that. There we are. And then let's go to Bill in Madison next. Bill, what's on your mind today?
First of all, speaking for all the Bills out there, we're not all as crazy as that guy from Chicago named Bill who called a few minutes ago.
Well, he was the renegade out of the whole tribe.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah, that being
the black sheep in the family. That's
not why I called. Why I called is I have a tank full of goldfish. They're it's a big, fairly big tank, 75 gallons, and they're large goldfish. They're about 6-7 inches long.
Okay.
One of them got injured when I was doing a partial water change this weekend. The dip tube thingy that sucks the water up got a hold of one of them and put a nice ring-shaped mark on his slime coat, and I think dislodged a couple of scales.
The scales will grow back.
Okay.
Your primary action now is to keep them from, because that's one of the primary defenses on a fish, the slime and the scale. You want to put something like stress coat in there.
I did do that already. And okay. It's been a couple of days, and he seems to swim okay, and he still eats.
Okay. Scales will grow back.
Okay, so you think he'll be okay then?
Should be, because I've done the same thing.
Okay, yeah, the poor guy, it left a nice mark on him, but I was afraid that he would get infected with something or...
Well, that's the reason for the stress coat. And okay. The scales, actually, 99 times out of 100, will grow back white.
Well, I don't mind, yeah.
Lacking pigment. I don't know why, but that's what happens. But normally the fish go through it. They weather that pretty well.
You mentioned this coat that you put on. Talk a little bit more about that.
Well, fish secrete a slime coating. If you're a fisherman and you grab that fish after you caught it,
your hands get
all slimy.
Mm-hmm.
That's their initial defense against it's a protective defense against anything. And bacteria, parasites, and such. It's when that is sloughed off that they can get an infection. It opens them up for that. So this is an artificial slime coating. It's called stress coat, and you put it back on, and it adheres to the fish and continues to protect them.
Good.
Until they can remanufacture that themselves.
Well, Bill, sounds like things should be fine.
Yes.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
All
right. You're welcome.
Thank you very much for your call. Our guest is Mike Hoffer, owner and creator of Hoffer's Tropic Life Pets in Milwaukee, Wisconsin's most unique animal center, located at 76th Street in Good Hope Road, that intersection. And you can find out more about what they have at hoffertropiclife.com. And we talked a little bit about the departments in the store. You've got your reptile department, your Joe's Fish Room. Who's Joe, by the way?
Joe has been with me over 25 years. He's like a brother to me. He manages the entire fish room. He built that fish room. So when we opened the new store, I had somebody make up neon lights and put Joe's Fish Room in there. And then he does all the ordering and answering of all the real technical questions for my customers, and manages all the people that work in the fish room. We kind of split up the store, the fish room and everything else. And we have people in every department that have been with me a long time, and it's probably one of the most proudest things I have about the store, that the people stay here and just enjoy their work, because they're working with animals, with fish, things that they really enjoy. And it's the reason I come in 7 days a week, and I don't tire of it.
And your bird department, you've got a couple of enclosed rooms, do you not?
Correct.
And what will people find in there?
Small cage birds like canaries, finches, parakeets, cockatiels, things like that. Occasionally we'll have a larger bird, but I used to have macaws and Amazons and things like that. I personally am not comfortable with some of the larger birds. So, therefore, I don't really have those here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Collared lizards. What makes a collared lizard that name?
They have it's a real nice green, emerald green lizard, and it has a black and white collar around its neck.
Is that among the most attractive of the lizards? Then?
Oh, no. It is, but yes. But we have bearded dragons that come in like an orange phase or red phase, leopard geckos with orange or yellow or speckled, all pretty, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of different types of snakes that come in every color you can think of. That's the attraction for reptiles, also that they don't cause any allergenic, you know, problems with people. Let's say a little girl wants a pet. She can't have a kitten or a dog or a mouse or a rabbit because she has allergies. They gravitate towards the reptiles or a fish tank. Now, if the kid is more tactile and wants to handle something, then they go into the reptiles.
Mike, thank you very much for spending the hour with us. It's been a lot of fun.
You're more than welcome.
Mike Hoffer is owner and creator of Hoffer's Tropic Life Pets in Milwaukee, located at 7323 North 76th Street in Milwaukee. Open 7 days a week, and more at hoffers-tropic-life.com. Coming up after the news, we'll be talking about some Italian cuisine right here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.